CCM's year-long celebration of Kurt Vile continues when Mackie Messer, better known as Mac the Knife, comes back to town and takes up residence at CCM for two weekends of the Three Penny Opera, directed by the J. Ralph Corbett Professor of Opera, Robin Guarino. She joins me along with Vile expert and CCM Professor Bruce McClung. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you're halfway through this season that's been dedicated to Kurt Vile and funded by the Kurt Vile Foundation. Why Three Penny Opera?
Well, it was the brainchild of Aubrey Berg, who is the head of music theater. We had been looking for a project that I could come over to musical theater for a long time. It was almost like spontaneous combustion when we thought of Street Scene and Three Penny at the same time. It's definitely a work that I grew up with. As you know, it's a kind of parody of Baroque opera. I spent a lot of time thinking about it when I was growing up and listening, obviously, to La Dolenia, and then later on to Tres Estradas, who was an opera singer, was singing these songs. So it all came together and fit in the greater context of the festival.
Bruce, Mack the Knife, which is the iconic number, the number everyone knows, that comes right at the top of the opera. And after that's out of the way, what are audiences going to hear?
They're going to hear parodies of 18th century operatic numbers. And if they listen very carefully, they'll hear a critique of Wagner and his Gesamtkunstwerk. So just like the original Three Penny Opera was a critique of opera seria in the 18th century, Brecht and Weill's Die Großen Oper is a critique of Wagnerian opera.
Was this the first collaboration with Weill and Brecht? How did they team up?
Actually, they had already teamed up on the Mahagoni Zangspiel, which had been performed at the New Music Festival in Baden-Baden in the summer of 1927. And it was a former actor, Ernst Alfricht, who owned a theater, and he wanted an inaugural production on his birthday, which was August 31st, 1928. And he wanted a play by Brecht because he knew it would be controversial. Brecht stood up for Vile and said no, that he wanted to bring Vile along for the project. So it was really the theatrical producer, Alfricht, that brought Brecht and Vile together. Yeah.
And Three Penny wasn't the first idea. It was something that was sitting on his desk from Brecht's collaborator, Elisabeth Hauptmann, the idea for the adaptation.
Does any of the bitter irony get lost in this translation you're doing by Mark Blitzstein?
We went through reading and listening to the different versions, and I had to come back to the Blitzstein because, for me, it was just the DNA of what he did was just so close to the German and the original. We did look at the Jeremy Sams because it is definitely edgier. It is definitely topical. It is definitely filled with current events. But I didn't think the in the face was necessary in this production because I think the use of metaphor and innuendo is so strong. I also felt that some of the anachronisms and social things would be lost in Cincinnati because they were really very much about London politics.
For members of our audience who are not familiar with Three Penny, who is Mac the Knife?
Mac the Knife is the notorious criminal. He's the character of McKeith. And so the song is about McKeith. Moritat is a song that used to be sung by street singers at street fairs about the notorious deeds of criminals. And so Moor means death and tot means deed.
The deed, yeah.
So it's the deeds of a notorious criminal. And so it's a kind of framing device, which Brecht liked. And the Moritat gives you the story of Mackie Messer before we actually get to see the character of McKeith and his story.
There's a whole panoply of characters. There's Polly Peachum and there's Tiger Brown and, of course, Pirate Jenny. Are all these characters merely type, or do they go beyond type?
Well, in the original play by John Gay, both the female leads were taken off of opera singers, Faustina Bordoni and Cuzzoni, famous opera singers. I think the roles are still informed by the idea of the operatic diva, but they're not actually takeoffs of contemporary people in 1928.
Robin, you're making this transition from opera to the musical theater. Do you have students from both opera and musical theater in the cast?
It's funny that you should bring that up. In the street scene, we had performers from opera, music theater, dance and drama. So it impacted the entire CCM community. But in this production, we have only musical theater students. It's a slight culture shift, but it's a very pleasurable culture shift because they are so well-trained, so well-crafted, and just they're a pleasure to work with. They bring so much to the table. There was a kind of understanding the genre curve that happened at the beginning that had to do with this is maybe not a belty voice. This is using your legit voice, really going to the core of honesty. These are not nice people. So it doesn't have to be beautiful in the typical way. And it's not about a generic voice. It's about your voice. That was a great exploration. And I have to say, we sort of boxed our way through on the first session. And then they came back and they were there.
What about the orchestra members? There are some unconventional instruments in this score. You have banjo, you have a harmonium, you have an organ grinder, don't you? Have you started rehearsing yet?
Roger Grodzki is the musical director, and he has not yet started having Sitzproben and orchestra rehearsals. But we did find a harmonium, the electronic version. That's very exciting for us. In this production, not that I want to put a spoiler forth, but the musicians are on stage. That's really exciting because it definitely makes the event more present.
And fits in with Brack's idea of epic theater, where the audience is continually reminded that they're watching a play.
Mm-hmm.
So by having the band members on stage, it's revealing what usually is hidden in the pit.
Are you taking a particular approach with this production, or it's just going to be grimy and down and dirty?
No, I think it's going to be stylish. I'm going back to the original. I'm not trying to reinvent what I think is very intelligent and interesting. I have to say that we are tightening the work, but I think it's going to be stylish and it's going to be well done, sort of look at what the form was. And obviously we have a breadth of material and training to make it 21st century, psychologically deep and complex, and we understand the style more. I think it'll have more momentum.
For both of you, what is it about Kurt Weill's music that makes this piece so durable?
One thing is the theatricality about it. When you say the Beggar's Opera or the Threepenny Opera, this is an opera about criminals and thieves. And so I think there's a kind of tension in the work between its higher aspirations and then the lowlifes of the cast.
The rhythmic drive, the texture, the color in the instrumentation. Actually, it was very funny because yesterday in rehearsal, we were rehearsing Pirate Jenny, and we were talking about Handel, actually, Baroque opera, and how, in a certain way, the musical numbers functioned very similarly to the way they do in Handel, so that it really is up to the performer and the director to draft the subtext of what is going on in the scene, because it's not as if the songs or the numbers actually push the action ahead, unlike, say, Puccini or something that's written in real time. So you have this real separation. You have the dialogue, then you have dialogue with underscoring, and then you get into this number. You have to dig pretty deep to figure out what it's about, and it's usually about a kind of essential feeling. And then you have to draft what's actually going on in the scene and why is this here. There is a little bit of an alienation as you go through the process, and when you come out the other end, it makes perfect sense.
And that's the opposite of the Wagnerian idea, where everything is integrated. And Brecht wanted the music to actually interrupt the play,
mm-hmm.
and had two different lighting systems. So it'd be so obvious to the audience where you switch from spoken dialogue to singing. He didn't want it to be natural. He wanted to highlight the break between the two.
Yeah, so there's this really heightened shift from this sort of play into the voom, now we're doing this number.
Well, you have a lot more things coming up for the Kurt Weill season, so fill us in on what else is going on.
Well, we have these 2 weekends of Threepenny, which are going to be fantastic, and then we have Aubrey Burgess directing a musical cabaret called Into a Lamplit Room that opens on March 3rd and 10th at 7 p.m., and some of the cast is overlapping. So it's been a complete immersion in musical theater and opera in the works of Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht.
Okay, and then on March 12th, the CCM choral program is including Ho Billy O, the madrigal from Kurt Weill and Alan J. Lerner's Love Life, on their concert on Tuesday, March 12th at 8 p.m. Finally, the CCM Wind Series is presenting Weill's Violin Concerto on a program including works by Weill's contemporaries, and that's on Thursday, March 14th at 8 p.m. In conjunction with the production of Three Penny Opera, we're bringing Howard Pollack from the University of Houston, who's just published a new biography on Mark Blitzstein. He'll be speaking on the Thinking About Music lecture series on Friday, March 1st, at 2:30 in the afternoon. His lecture is entitled, "Oh, the Shark Has Pretty Teeth, Dear," Mark Blitzstein's historic adaptation of the Three Penny Opera. Howard is also giving a pre-performance talk before the second performance of the Three Penny Opera on Friday, March 1st, and that'll be at 7:15 p.m. in the Bower Room before the performance of the Three Penny Opera.
It's an amazing season, and it's the first time ever that the Kurt Weill Foundation has sponsored an entire season. So it's a real precedent setter. You can take great pride in that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bruce McClung and Robin Guarino, CCM faculty members. Robin Guarino directs the Three Penny Opera, which runs from February 28th through March the 10th at CCM. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ann Ehrenstein.
Der hat Zähne und die Klinge.